to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that song service and the specials too. You know, I wish I could sing. I just ain't no good at it. I like to do it though. When I let y'all sit down, I ain't going to put you to work no more. A lot of times when I say this because I'm fixing to sing, but not this time. Tell you what, it's been a good week. The Lord sure is good. Sure is merciful. You know, and He is just as good as we'll allow Him to be. And you know what? That's the thing about life in this life is we got to realize that He wants to bless us. He wants to work in our lives. So you know what? We've come here to service, and all I need to do is give me your patience and give me a little bit of faith in the service, and we'll see if we can't get a blessing for everybody. Amen? Amen. So I want to ask you, who's going to give that to me? You going to give me some patience and give me a little attendance and a little bit of faith, and we'll see what God will meet every need today. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and turn your scriptures to St. John chapter 15, verse 16. We want to speak on a little thought this morning. Proclaim victory and start walking. St. John 15, verse 16. Says, "And you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." I want to ask the Lord, just go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you so much for the blessings that you have given us and bestowed upon us today, Lord. Such a great opportunity to be here in the house, Lord. And Lord, though it may not be a nice building, God, but you are here, Father. And Lord, I would rather have maybe not a nice building, but have you, Lord, rather than to have a fancy building and just be a lodge, oh God. Lord, we know you're here, Father, because we brought you here. And Lord, your word says where two or three will be gathered in your name, you would be in our midst, Father. I commit everything to you right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Meet every need. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to ask you, what kind of fruit should we be bearing right now? And in Galatians 5:22 and verse 23, it says, "But the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no love." And we did a study on the lexicon to see what is each one of these fruits. And in love, it says brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love and benevolence. Joy is the joy being received from you. Peace, a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage of havoc of war. I'm going to ask you now, can we get out of war? No. We're going to be in war. Right. Amen? But you can get away from the havoc of it and the chaos of it. Amen?
Right.
Because we're going to be at war. Unless you just lay down and let the devil beat on you. We're going to be in war.
Right.
So peace has a national state of tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. Peace with individuals, harmony, discord, security, safety, prosperity, felicity. Because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Of the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to salvation. And number 5 says, of peace, it's of Christianity. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, of whatsoever sort that is.
Right.
Long-suffering, it's patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. I want that, don't you?
Amen.
Gentleness. Let's go. Long-suffering has another. It's patience, forbearance, long-suffering, showing slowness in avenging wrongs. Sometimes we need a little bit more of that, don't we? Gentleness, moral goodness, integrity. Goodness says uprightness of the heart and life, goodness and kindness. The fruit of faith. Belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same, fidelity, faithfulness, having the character of one who can be relied upon. I want that, amen?
Yeah.
Meekness, gentleness, mildness, meekness, temperance, self-control, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially in his sensual appetites. In Psalms 1:1-6, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like the tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his fruit. in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you believe that God wants you to prosper? He does, saints of God. We're going to talk about how can we get there, because I want to be prosperous in all these things we're talking about. The godly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Philippians 2:14, 15 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Philippians 2:15 or 16 says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Who wants to be blameless and harmless? He says, for him to do that, stay away from murmurings and disputings. Do you believe that you can have the day that you choose to have each day? When we wake up in the morning, I may not have control about how my back feels or how my feet feels, but I do have control of one thing, and that's my attitude toward that day.
Yeah.
And you know, when I get up in the mornings, every morning, by the grace of God, when I wake up, my wife and I, we get together, I spend a little devotion with the Lord, and before I leave, we put our arms around one another, and we bind together against the devil. And we say, God, we want strength today. We want to follow you today. We want to be fruitful today in thy power and thy spirit and thy might. Regardless of how I feel, friends, that's the way we approach the day. God meets me every time. Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about?
Amen. That's right.
We can't control what's going to happen to us, but we can control how we act when those things come.
Right.
And we got to realize, you know, we don't have to take just what's thrown at us. We don't have to go day by day and say, you know, I'll just go with what life gives me today. We got to have a vision. And when we have a vision, friends, we know we're striving for something. You know, whether it be a career, whether it be financial, whether it be a church, no matter what it is, your job, if you want a promotion, you've got to have a vision in front of you. And you can't go day by day and just hope it falls in your lap. It
That's
might
right.
happen one in a million. But you know what? You've got to take steps for that thing to take place. You know, who wants a promotion in your job? I'll show you how you do it. You focus on that thing. You want promotion, brother? I see you shake your head. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see somebody's won it. Somebody asked me if you want promotion. Yes, I do. Maybe. Depends on the responsibilities that come with it.
That's right.
But you know what? You want those things. You've got to have a vision in front of you. You've got to have a little bit of self-discipline. And you say, you know what? I want that. Now, what do I got to do to get there? You know what? If you want weight training, if a man or a boy wants to get strength in his body, and he says, you know, I'm tired of looking and feeling the way I do. I'm going to do something about this. And you know, he's got to have a vision in his mind. He says, you know what? I'm going to get that. I'm going to get there, and you've got to keep that vision in your mind because it's not going to fall in your lap. You know, when you get up the first night and you start doing your push-ups or your set-ups or you're lifting your weights or whatever it may be, it's not going to be encouraging. What the first 5 minutes might be. You feel the blood pump and you're like, oh yeah, let's do this. I'm ready. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going great. You get inside there and you're like, 10, 11. I think that's pretty good for a first start. You're ready to sit down and quit, right? It ain't easy. But you got to say, you know what? I want this thing. And because I want it, I'm going to get it. Amen? And you know, they've got many transformation packages out there. They've got the P90X, they've got the Insanity, they've got all these different ones, and they probably all will work if you do it right. But you know, if I was going to do P90X, let's just pick one. If I was going to do P90X, for me to get the full benefit of that package, I've got to get in the spirit of what that man's doing. You know, if he's jogging, he's going, I've got to get in that same spirit. I've got to get pumped up for the game, because when I'm pumped up in the game, friends, I'm feeling what he's feeling. And I'm getting excited. My blood's pumping, sweat's coming out. I'm like, oh yeah, let's do this, buddy. It don't matter what program it is, whatever it is, you've got to get in the same spirit that they're in. Because when you do, you're going to get the same benefits that they're getting. And you know, I want the Holy Ghost, friends. I want it so bad. I want it everywhere I go. It just splashes on everyone.
Right.
Just like sweat. I go there and I throw my hands up. I want everybody to feel it. You know why I can have that, friends? Because I say, God, I'm speaking it and I'm going to walk in it. God said, I can have it every day. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter what's happened. You speak it and you start walking in it. Hey, man. Well, Tony, you ever just wake up and say, I feel like preaching. I tell you what. I want victory, friends. I want such fruit in my life. You know, wherever I go, they've been an Alma. And they can see my fruit because it's so big. Amen?
Yeah.
We can have that in this life. And I believe God wants us to have it.
Yeah.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the word. I think that's a good scripture. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I want to talk just a minute about the job. When you're doing a job, and I just have to preach from how I do things, amen? Because that's my own personal experience. You know, when you're going to do a job, and like say I'm selling cars. When I go sell that car, I want to do that in such a way that Jesus Christ can come right behind me and sign behind that and say, I approve of this transaction. I believe he did it honest. I believe he was straightforward. I believe he did the best he could do. So if you're on the time clock and you punch in that time clock, it should be in such a way you're not sitting as an eye pleaser, sitting in a corner somewhere when the boss ain't looking. And then when the boss looks, you jump up and, yes, sir. I'm working. I'm scrubbing. I'm doing my job because the boss is looking. And right. Then as soon as the boss turns his head, you go back to sit down. Amen.
Right.
But you know what? You do that just like you're serving the Lord, because when you do that, you're going to get the benefit not just from God, but from the job also.
That's right.
That's right. That's what they call integrity. Amen. For I am persuaded, this is Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:11-12 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, the world against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual warfare. Amen? It's not a flesh and blood warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. I want to ask you, how many have really felt the devil stick his head up since Brother Tony started this series? Amen. Now, does that mean that we're getting defeated? No. What that shows is we need to walk circumspectly and we need to look and say, okay, devil, our pastor is ordained of you. He gave us the truth. And these devils are sticking up because we're going to walk in victory. Now, I'm going to start going forward. Today, we're going to talk about that. Amen?
Right.
Because you know what? When those devils stick their heads, because you're doing something right.
That's right.
Amen. Only the Word can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Satan can only pervert how we think about it. Every day, our actions are promoted by the thoughts within our hearts. Revelations 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the treasures of an evil heart brings evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou art justified, by thy words thou art condemned. What we meditate on will reflect our attitude and our actions.
Right.
That's why we must meditate upon the Word of God. How many times does Scripture say, meditate upon my law? Delight thyself in my law. Because when you meditate upon those things, you're going to speak from the abundance of your heart, and you're going to speak the Word. And then every time, it's just like a sponge. And I go up to Brother Tony, and I just, and if I'm the adversary, I'm not. But if I was the adversary, and I go to this brother, and I go to squeeze him and try to hurt him anyway, you know what I'm going to get out of him? Out of the abundance of his heart, and a sweet spirit.
That's right.
That's right. When the adversary comes against you, because you're from the abundance of your heart, you are filled with the law of God.
Right.
From the heart, you are filled by the love of God through prayer. And then when the devil comes against you, he tries to squeeze against you. Not that I'm going to squeeze Brother Tony. I just use that for an illustration. He uses me and I use him. When you do that, the devil ain't going to get nothing but good out of you.
Yeah. That's right.
But you know what? During that squeeze, you really show who you are. Brother Tony talked one time. He said, you know, you see a cat that's trying to be a dog, you put that cat's tail on the vise and you can crank on it. You'll find out real quick he ain't a dog anymore.
That's right.
Because the pressure's on, amen?
That's right.
And the pressure's on, friends. It's showing who we really are.
That's right.
You've got some people that are leaving. You got some people that are going this way and that way. And that old devil keeps cranking. And you know what happens, friends? I say, praise the Lord.
That's right.
You know, we get so hard some other day, and I have to pray a little more. And that Satan, he's walking by, and he's sending his devils out there. He says, you go to the black family. You go and persecute that family. He says, but Satan, every time I do it, he prays.
I've been trying to press him for 12 years on his boy and saying I'm going to take him away from him. Every time I do it, he just prays.
That's right.
12 years. He said, I don't want to go back to that house. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I feel pretty good this morning.
You know what? We can have from this life what God told us we can have. I want peace. I want joy. I want love. I want long suffering. I want kindness. I want these things, friends. And God said, I can have it. Amen.
Right.
What we meditate on will be reflected in our attitude and our actions. You want to see what someone's been meditating on? Watch their actions. Watch the way they talk. And you know, sometimes the way I hear some people just ridicule, most of them it's ministers, not from here, but ministers I've heard. You know, what preachers do a wonderful service and they'll run their brother on the ground. God never let me do that. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
You know what? There are brothers and sisters. And you know what? That should be, to me, that should be where the real ministry should be, is when you're out of the pulpit. That's when you really, because it's the life that's lived. Praise the Lord. If we meditate or associate ourselves with negativity, we will be negative. If we constantly associate ourselves with wet blankets as close fellowship, we will begin to reflect more of the wet blanket than the fire. If we are constantly around gossip, it won't be long and we'll be gossiping. If we are constantly around complaining, we will start complaining.
Right.
If we are constantly around a bad attitude, we will have a bad attitude. And I don't do this to be unsociable at work, but if the other guys are there and they're being negative about different things, I will not socialize with those people.
Right.
I don't do that to be mean, but you know what? I am not going to let them run my day. Because
right.
I'm going to walk in this life, I'm going to be victorious. Nobody got Facebook. I sell cars on Facebook. You've got one strike. You run my day one time, you're out. Don't even ask me, my friend. No, I'll pray for you. But I won't play with it. I won't mess with it. My day is too precious. My time with the Lord is too precious. Like I say, I sell cars on it. It's been a blessing. As a salesman, I must be positive. I want everyone to be just as excited as I am. As a Christian, we're salesmen. We must bring forth all the goodness and the luxuries of this life and not the negativity. You know, many times people get just the opposite. They'll hear all the negative stuff in a person's life. Like, I don't want to walk that kind of a life. They're depressed all the time. They're always fighting battles. They're always beat down. They always got that. Could you imagine me being a car salesman and me walking out there and got this car? They're pumped up. They're ready to go. Look at this car, man. I'm so depressed. And I go out here and I'm so dead. It's an all right car, but fuel mileage ain't that great. Yeah, even like this, the seats are kind of uncomfortable. No, you wouldn't like this because, oh, I like to go fishing, so I need a truck rather than a car. Could you imagine me being a salesman and being able to sell cars like that? Oh, the payment would be more than I'd want to pay. Oh, you wouldn't want that. I like white. This is black. Now, how many want to buy a car off me? You say, this guy's crazy. He's depressing. I'm going to go somewhere else. But you know what? Someone comes out on that lot, and just energy comes out, almost like you're fixing to shoot a deer or something. that sounds bad, but just like a...
That was unrehearsed.
You get an adrenaline, guys. You get me?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You get an adrenaline rush that comes. Because I know in my first 35 seconds of that person's life, that's the lasting impression. 35 seconds. So I know in my actions in 35 seconds, I can win them win their respect, their trust, and their honesty, or I can lose it in 35 seconds. And that's the same thing with a Christian attitude.
Amen.
You've got 35 seconds, friends. When you interact with somebody, you've got 35 seconds and the time ticks. And that person will watch you, and that first impression they see of you, that will be a lasting impression. Amen. That's the truth. And you know, when I'm doing that, my thing I do, I like to associate the needs. I want to find the needs of that customer. I want to say, you know what do they have need of? What are they going to be driving? What are you going to be going for? Because I know the better I can take care of them, they're going to come back to me next time. Amen. Well, I'm a salesman this morning. And I want to meet every need, friends. I want to associate the needs that you got this morning. You know, some people's got need of healing. Some people need help of encouragement. Sometimes people just need, you know what, I need a drive to get me in because I want to be better, but it's like, it seems like every time I try, it's like I try and I just can't do it. You know what I'm talking about? In your press, we all got needs, friends. But you know what? When we come to the gospel and we hear it, you know what? We have an opportunity. And I've got the best rate for you this morning. I tell you what, it's 100% interest. I'm not buying a vehicle for 100% interest. It's 100% interest. God's interest for you will be 100%. God is interested in what you're going through. And He's got what you're going through. And you say, you know what? I have these needs. And I'm trying, little Daniel. I have been trying to get over this. 12 years I've been trying to get past this hump. I don't know how to do it. He's here this morning. And He's interested. Amen? He's interested this morning. We are commanded to bear fruit and that it should remain. Every day, regardless of how we feel, we have a choice of how we're going to start our day. We can just take whatever life throws at us, or we can take what God wants us to have. In Matthew 11:12, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent taketh it by force." There will be days when nothing is coming on the lot. And this is for me as a celebrant. There will be days when nothing is coming on the lot, and I can say, well, I guess this is just how it has to be. No sales today. I guess I can go sit inside and prop my feet up. I could do that. Or I could start doing things to promote sales. And there will be days in our lives where it seems like I'm not bearing any fruit. And it seems like I have no more joy. I have no more peace. I have no more long suffering. I don't have any of these things anymore. We could say this is just how it has to be. Or we can start taking actions to start promoting more fruits. Amen? We can start being proactive and say, you know what? I want these things and I'm going to have them. Amen. In Ephesians 4:21-32, and I'm reading a lot of scripture. Is that all right? Ephesians 4:21-32, it says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye should put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I'm going to stop there for just a second. There's going to be times in this old flesh, man, you're going to get mad, angry. Is that right? Okay. But don't let the sun go on your wrath, friends. You make that thing right before God before you go to sleep. And I'm telling you what, it'll make your next day a whole lot better. Okay. Amen. "Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." You know one thing Satan will fight us more than anything is forgiveness. We want forgiveness. And we want God to forgive us of our errors when we repent. But when somebody else does something against you, you ever notice how sometimes that's kind of hard to forgive that person? As a car salesman, I don't gauge my success on how many cars I sell a day. But the way I gauge my success as a car salesman is when I approach every day, did I honor God today in everything? Did I do all the sales the way I was supposed to do? Was I honest in everything? Then I'm successful today. And car sales will come with that. And you know what? You can't gauge your success in this life on how many miracles you've taken place today. You can't base your experience on how many boys that were lame when you went and laid hands on them and they were restored. You can't base your success as a Christian on outward miracles. But you got to do it this way, friends. Are you honoring God today? Is your heart pure before God? Are you doing what you're called to do? The miracles will follow. That's right. Because I want miracles. Who wants miracles?
Amen.
Sure we do. It's a wonderful feeling. But you know, that's how it comes. And most of the time, Brother Tony, I've ever seen God do a miracle. It's when I absolutely did not. Matter of fact, every time. It's when I did not expect it at all. It's never been pre-planned. Never. By the grace of God, Brother Tony was with me. Brother Tony was in the service. And we've seen that little boy that was sitting in the back. His limbs were all crooked. And he couldn't even walk. Not planned at all, friends. And by the grace of God, the boy comes up and accepts Jesus Christ. And not only does God heal his soul, he heals his body. And the boy walks away. Not pre-planned. But you put things in right perspective. And you say, but Brother Daniel, I'm not going to be standing behind the pulpit. Do you want miracles in your life? I'm not talking about raising the dead. I'm not talking about doing things. I'm talking about just have God working in your life.
Right.
Amen? That's the way it comes, friends. It's just putting things in right perspective. Proclaim victory and start walking in it. And you start saying, God, you know what, Brother Tony and I, we put hands on each other before that service. We said, God, when we go here, we want to go in your name and your authority. We know we can't do anything. We know we can't. Only you can. And in the same way, Brother Tony, with that trip, it's every day with us. We can't do it. I can't do it. Amen? I can't do it. I'm going to ask you, who's got needs today? And I know I've made you raise your hand probably 50 times already. That's all right. Because you know what? Do you think it matters when you raise your hand in service? I believe it does. Because you know what? It could be that 50th time when you raise your hand and say, I want it. God said, you're going to get it. Amen. Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Psalms 119:9-18. Withal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of the testimonies, and as much in all thy riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. In Timothy 6:12, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich shall fall into temptations and snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in disillusion and perdition. Do you know Brother Branham said there'll be just as many penniers in hell as millionaires? I never even heard of a penniere until I read that. Listen to this. Jesus is the only safe and secure foundation that anything can be built on. That's right. It's the only foundation that can be built upon. All other foundations is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I shall stand. All other ground is sinking sands. A lot of people build up on riches. They try to work. They try to see how much money they can make. They say, if I can't spend it, my children behind me can. What does it do? It leads to slavery. You become a slave to your money. Many people don't, maybe you don't have to be a millionaire to do that. You can just covet money. And you're just as guilty as a millionaire, see? There's just as many penniers as there's millionaires will be in hell because it's your attitude toward it. God has given you. Now, if you build upon riches, it'll fall. Money can be a bondage too, amen?
That's right.
Satan's got lots of bondages he can put us in.
Yep.
And money's one of those things. And like I say, it's not because you're rich. to be a penny heir. My boys are penny heirs. They've got more penny than you've ever seen in your life. Sometimes it ends up in the sick belt and everything else, you know. You don't have to be a millionaire to be in bondage by money. You can truly be penny heir. Friends, I want to be fruitful. I don't want to have this bondage. I want to have victory. I want to have peace and joy and love, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, affection. And when someone does me wrong, God, give me grace to forgive that person. Because you know what's going to come. The world didn't receive Christ, so he's not going to receive you. If they received you, they would receive Christ. But he didn't. And that's why it is a battle. And you know, Brother Tony's been identifying these spirits. He says you can look at the nature of that spirit. When that spirit begins to come upon you, if it's an aggressive spirit and tries to come against you, and here's your key, listen to me, young people. If it gets you to where you start bucking against your authority, and it gets to telling you, you know what, maybe Dad don't know what he's talking about. Maybe the preacher don't really know what he's talking about. That spirit is not with the Word. Because that spirit will take you, like Brother Tony said, at first, in an example, at first it'll tell you, you know what, you can hold hands. People ain't looking. It's fine. You can control it. But once you do that, the next step's a little bit closer. You can put your arm around them. And you're like, oh, this is fine. I've got this. I'm under control. The devil still works that when you're older. Ain't that right, older people?
That's right.
He'll make you think you can handle it. You can handle this extra television show. It's no big deal. You can handle it. You can handle this radio station. It's no big deal. You can handle it. You're strong enough. That when they preach that, that's for people that ain't strong enough. You're strong enough. You know what you can handle. Come on.
That's right.
Regardless of what it is. You could fill in the blank yourself of what it is you're fighting. The devil will tell you that's not for you. You are strong enough to overcome this. That's for the people that can't handle it. And you'll give in just a little bit. And the next thing you know, he'll say, you can handle it. Don't worry, it's just a little bit. That's, you can handle this. You're stronger than they are. You'll take another step. And next thing you know, you are so far off of the path, you wonder what in the world happened. Next thing you know, you've got things in your life and in your home that you would have never allowed there.
That's right.
Next thing you know, you're listening to things and beating on the steering wheel. How in the world did that even get on my radio station? I don't even listen to this stuff. And next thing you know, not only are you beating on the steering wheel, it's programming your stereo. That's the way the natures of the spirits work. No, and whenever you're going through this life and you're feeling sleepy and you're feeling tired and you feel a little knock, and it'll be at a little knock. And it'll be an inspiration of a scripture. Listen now, this is reality. You feel a little inspiration come in your heart of a scripture, and you will feel a leap come inside your stomach.
That's right.
And when you hear that and you feel that leap, what that is, friends, that's a knock. And that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you through that. He'll give you a nudge inside your heart and give you a scripture, or he'll give you a thought to pray. When you hear that, friends, listen to that and get on your knees. Get that Bible and flip over to that page and find that scripture, because you're going to need it.
Yes.
That's the reason he's given it to you.
Right.
God don't waste words. God don't waste movement. He does it for a reason. And when God gives you that leap inside your heart, and if you talk to God at all, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
God will give you a scripture, or he'll give a nudge inside your heart to pray, and it'll be a quick leap. It'll go, and that's a little, you can't explain the supernatural, just do the best you can. There'll be a leap on the inside. It'll be something to pray or to read a Bible or listen to a sermon. Perfect example. The other night, I was laying in bed. I quickly come inside and said, dead man's walk. Scripture. That was the thought that came to my mind. Dead man's walk. It's exactly how God will do it sometimes. And you got to get up. And if you will proclaim victory and you start walking and you listen to that tape, you read that scripture, you pray, and you see if a combat, a battle don't come, and you're already equipped for it.
That's right.
That's the truth. Spiritual warfare.
Yes.
So you can't explain the supernatural. You just do the best you can by pointing. But I'll tell you, that's the way God works.
Right.
And what I was talking about, even with that deal, there was a customer come up, and what I needed to address that situation, we got right off that table. That's the way God works. You say, I'm not a minister, Brother Daniel. Are you a son or daughter of God? You believe God called us into a ministry? No, sir. I don't want to share it. Stop here. You already told me you're giving your patience and your time, so I've got a little bit of time still.
Right.
You know what? I felt something out there. So you know what? I'm not a minister, so that's the reason those things happen for you, because you are a minister. I'm going to show you something. This last trip I was there in Honduras, a testimony from a minister of talking about how God told me and my wife to hook the Jeep up and start driving because I didn't even know where in the world I was going. I remember his testimony. God said, get in the vehicle and start driving. And we just started driving. I had no idea where we were going. And God told me to go to a dumpster. Because God was going to meet my needs. How ridiculous does that sound? God told me to get in that vehicle and drive to the dumpster. And the whole process, God met every need. A family that's not a minister, they're just Christians. And I don't mean just Christian. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to show that they weren't holding an office behind a pulpit.
Right.
They heard that same testimony, and they were inspired by it. They proclaimed victory, and they started walking in it. And that same family needed a house to live in and didn't know where they were going to live. No money, no nothing. But he said, you know what? I remember a voice from behind the pulpit that said, start walking. Proclaim victory and start walking. And the man didn't even know where he was going. He just started walking. Wife asked him, where are you going? I don't know. Brother Daniel said, start walking. I'm going to start walking. A man starts walking down the road, don't even know where he's going. Going down the dirt road and everything. He's just going. All of a sudden, that same leap come inside his stomach. And he says, right here. He didn't even know why, but he turned over to the left and it looked like nothing. It looked like a bunch of weeds and trees. And God said, right here. He stopped and he looked. And that became his new home, friends. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not talking some fairy tale. That happened, friends. I've got pictures of it. Pictures of the home. Pictures of the family in the home.
Right.
They went to the government officials. They're going to try to buy it. What kind of payment plan can I get? Nobody owns that. Just sign here.
Right.
Signed his name on the piece of paper. Got him a home, friends. Why? Because he listened to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
You know what? And from the pulpit, you know, when you hear something, whether it's at home and you feel that leap come on the inside and it says, start walking. Pick up 1 foot and start walking. You know, when God begins to tell you, witness to that person, speak to that person. Sometimes we worry, what am I going to talk about? But what if he asks about this? I'm not very studied up in this. Who knows what I'm talking about? Pray for that person. Wait a minute, I don't know if I can pray for him. What if I pray and it don't happen? You feel that leap on the inside to pray for that person. You reach over and say, can I pray for you? And you pray and see if God don't meet that person's need. That could be that person's one need that they need. It could be something they've been struggling for years. And just because they come in contact with the bride of Christ, that could have been the time that they met their needs. You know, we need to be fruit bearers, friends.
Amen.
We need to bear fruit wherever we're going. We need to walk in the Spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of this flesh. But you know what? This old guy, the devil fights him every day. But you know what? God chose the heart. Satan chose your mind. And if you've got something that's battling in your mind, you know right there is a clear indication of where that's coming from. Because anytime God, where did I say that God will speak to you? Right from the heart. That's what they never do. Am I telling the truth, Brother Tony? I want to see God working in your lives. That's me and Brother Tony's job as a ministry. And it's Brother Tim as a song leader. We have a responsibility for you, friends. And our responsibility is we want to see you bearing fruit. We want to see you growing in the Lord. We want to see you happy. We want to see you peaceful, full of joy. When I see you coming for service, I want to see Sister Chris coming in. I want to see that step, and I want to see that foot bouncing. You know why? Because she's going to church. Amen. I've seen some people, they go to church, they're just real quiet. They go, not her. I've seen some people going to church, and they're just real quiet. They're not excited. They go to a ball game. Woo! They're throwing their hands up. They're shouting. Why? They're in the Spirit. But you know, we're getting that same Spirit in here. I'm telling you, it's unlimited what we can have. Unlimited, friends. You know what? Because if you want to lose weight, gain weight, tone your weight in the body, God can answer that need. You want your finance met? You want to be able to budget your money better? You want to budget these things? God's here. You need deliverance from something? You need a different deliverance from oppression? God's here. You fill in the blank of what you're going through. Sometimes, you know what it is? We just got the rotten attitude. Just be honest. Sometimes we got a rotten, stinking attitude. And we can't even deal with ourselves sometimes. You know what? And we know a lot of times when we do, God can help that. You know what? I believe God's a provider, and God's a need provider. And I know Brother Matthew's probably one of the most blessed persons. He's got a Holy Spirit in his wife. I'm sure that helps a lot. But you know, when a woman is pregnant, mood swings and different things like that, the devil starts working. Amen. We've had four. I know. You ain't telling me nothing. Come on, brothers. Amen. Sisters. Amen. I'm talking reality. I'm not preaching some fairy tale. We fight battles. We got a guy right here that you have to put under control. Because if I don't, he'll run wherever he wants to. But you got to put him in check by the Holy Spirit. And I've shown you today, when we plant ourselves in the water, and a running water, not some stagnant cistern. I'm talking about running, living water. We've got it here at this church, friends. Yeah. We should be bearing fruit. Yeah. And if I'm not bearing fruit, why? Let's stand. I didn't mean to pick on Sister Brittany. I'm pretty good friends with them, so that's why I kind of pulled them out of there. It makes a blessing when you get a wife that's full of the Holy Ghost. Is that right, Brother Matthew? Yeah. It makes a blessing. My precious wife has been through all those things. She knows very well what she's going through, you know, and your different things that go with that. And I tell you what, she has been such a blessing having my life. Going on 13 years? 12 years. 1 year, I'm going to get it right. 12 years, me and her have been going through this battle, friends. Fighting one battle after another. But you know what? We have always taken God's word. Say, God, I don't know how we're going to get through this week. Whether it be sometimes a financial thing, sometimes just a depression thing. We didn't know how we were going to get through it. But we said, you know what? God, your word says you would meet our needs. And we spoke that word. And just like a bridge being built, he met the need. And I'll tell you something, there's faith in this building right now. And you know what? You're going through something and you say, you know what? I've been fighting this with Daniel for years. He's here to take that, meet that need right now. Let's let every head bow. I'm telling you right now, there's faith in this building right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, I can feel your presence here, Lord. And I know we don't go by feelings, Lord, but just through times, Lord, we of working with you and fellowshipping with you, God. We've seen how things have worked before. And Lord Jesus, I know you're here right now. And God, there's been hands that have come up in this building, Father, that said that they have needs. Lord God, you know they don't have to come up here and have me lay hands on them. They could receive it right where they're at, Father. Lord God, I want to be fruitful. I want these saints to be fruitful, Lord. I want them to have so full of your life, oh God. Lord, wherever they're at, Lord Jesus. Lord, that people can partake of you through them, Lord. God, I'm asking you that you'll walk these aisles right now, Lord Jesus. Knock on their hearts, oh God. And Lord, let them not pass this moment up, Lord. God, whatever need they're going through, Father. Whatever thing they have need of. Lord, I'm asking you, meet every need right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Lord, we're going to ask you to take control now. If anybody has need of prayer, you can receive it right where you're at, or you can come forth. I'll leave that up to you. I'm going to ask for a tent if you just play something softly. Don't let this moment pass by. Have your way now, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I felt inspired by you when I said, just give you some patience and give you some faith. And Lord Jesus, we're giving you the time now. Lord, we're not rushing out the doors. Lord, we're not thinking about going where we're going to eat. God, we're thinking on one thing, Father. Lord, how can I bear more fruit, Lord? Lord Jesus, I ask you, Father, walk the aisles, knock on their hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know the real us, oh God. And Lord, you know truly from our heart, we just want to follow you, Lord. truly from our heart. We just want to bear your life, oh God, wherever we go, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you now, Father, to meet every need, Lord. Lord, you see the hands that have gone up, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Actually, it's in Nicaragua where it's at. But we want to ask you to really be remembering Brother Paco in your prayers. That's a dangerous country over there. And, you know, he has a desire to serve the Lord and to meet his need. He's wanting me to go with him on that trip, and I just don't know about that yet. I just have to really pray about that. You need to know that you're being called for that. Brother Tony knows and Brother Tim knows that's the truth. You need to make sure it's God leading you, because inspiration sometimes can be enthusiasm.
Right.
Right. Really need to be led by the Lord.
Amen.
And friends, I've been serious with you this morning. And I really believe if you go with the right attitude, God will give you the fruits that you're desiring. And we all are lacking somewhere and need more. Because
yeah.
It's a work in progress. And we all need improvement. Amen. Mm-hmm. Constructive criticism is really good. Amen. Sometimes it don't feel too good.
Right.
But it's good for you.
Amen.
And, you know, one of my bosses, his name's Brian. And I'm pulling for that brother. He's the one that hired me. We were talking here the other day, and by the grace of God, you know, things have been going pretty good. And he gave me some constructive criticism, and nothing bad. He said, Daniel, he said, I can tell you, he said, when you're done it, he said, you take too much on yourself. He said, you need to rest in the process. He said, because the process is what sells. He said, all you got to do is get them trust you. And trust in the process. And the process is so important. And I found that to be the truth. Not to, when I did that, the weariness got off of me. I wasn't near as tired. And you know, I said that to say this. Sometimes we take too much on ourselves. Because we have worries and concerns. We want to see things happen. And a lot of times we put that on ourselves. But you got to quit putting that on yourself and have faith in the process. And God has a process.
Yeah.
And when you do that, trust in Him, realize He's the one that's going to do it anyway. Or it ain't going to get done. Amen. That's what it's in the Bible.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you.
a few things I just want to share with you. Thank the Lord for what we heard, Brother Daniel. It's a mouthful. Several things there, but one thing there where he said, your inspiration sometimes can be enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. We've got to learn what comes from the Lord and what's not just us. Yeah. We've got to do that. And so I appreciate what Brother Daniel shared with us, and I can tell, you know, to me it just fits like a jigsaw puzzle in the things that's on my heart. And so the pressure's on. But you know, a prophet in our age told us that pressure is a good thing.
That's right.
Right? Because we don't, none of us need to be lazy, just sit around, take it as it comes. I've told my family many times, you've got to engineer your day before you to make it be what you want it to be. It's not going to come the way it's supposed to by itself. You've got to make it happen. And that means you've got to look the devil in the eye and tell him what's going to be. And you've got to make it come like that, because he's not going to bring it to you a godly day. He's not going to bring victory to you. You've got to take it. And so you look at the deer, you know, whenever season's not on, it's like right now, nobody's been hunting deer. They'll just piddle around and whatever, and they're not real worried about anything like that. But you let one shot be fired at them.
That's right.
And you watch them change their nature, and you'll be lucky to see one compared to what they are now. They play around the yard and stuff, you'll see them. You won't see that when gun season opens.
Right.
Or when they start. Why? Because the pressure. See, if they didn't change, if they just walked around like normal and the gun season opened up and they just kept walking around like normal, you wouldn't see no deer next year. But it's that pressure of season, they have to change. They have to change their tactics or they're not going to survive.
That's right.
Well, Saints, I want to tell you something. If we want to survive, we got to change our tactics, right? Because the devil's out to destroy you. And all these spirits that Brother Daniel was talking about, if it's not the Holy Spirit, it's out to kill you.
That's right.
I don't care what color it looks like, how it's coming, what it speaks to you, what form it is, or whatever. If it's not Word, it's out to destroy you.
Okay.
You just might as well, you know, put that, take that to the bank, because that's exactly it. If it's anti-Word, it's anti-Christ. If it's anti-Christ, it's out to get you, to wrap you up and take you into a kingdom where you don't belong. And so, you know, when you pray, like you should, when you read your Bible, listen to tapes, when you come to church, when you live like you're supposed to, it's like going to the bank, putting money in the bank.
That's right.
My wife and I were talking about this yesterday. When you do those things right, and you know, I put it this way, you could put money in the bank when it's not an evil day. When it's a good day and you've got some extra money, you can put it in the bank. When the evil day comes, you don't have enough money and you've got to, you know, you need more. I'm talking about when it comes to finances. And you can go to the bank and you can draw from those reserves that you had in the good day. You can draw from those in the bad day and get through the bad day because you're drawing from the good days. When you come to church and you do the things on the days you're supposed to, and you read your Bible, and you do all those things you're supposed to, the evil day when it comes, when the devil steps before you tomorrow, you'll have reserves in the bank, and whether you know what's going on or not, God will see to it that reserve that you stuck back there will come out, and you'll defeat the devil on that bad day.
Amen.
Because of what you did on the good day.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? This is a concept that we must all understand, and we must all put into action in our lives, because we're all going to have those days where we press on. I have to press on and press against the battle. And so these things are true. I believe we heard some true things this morning. Amen?
Yes.
But what is it going to do? What good is it going to do if we don't ever put it into action? And it's not something, you know, yeah, as a group we can do it, but we're talking about an individual basis.
Amen.
We have to put these things into action on an individual basis every day. The Bible speaks of a prayer closet. And you know, I go, lately I've been going out and getting in our camper, and I get up in the morning and go out there. It's not, you know, everybody else is asleep in the house. Doesn't mean I couldn't pray in the house or whatever. I just go out there sometimes because it's a sanctified the place that I can do that. Not that that anywhere else isn't, but you know, you sanctify something in your mind, and the Lord meets you there. And I just do that. But when the Bible speaks of a prayer closet, it's speaking of a intimate place between you and the Lord, and that's it. Nobody else. Something that's going on. And you know what, Brother Branham, whenever the angel was showing him the third pool, talking about the little room there where he said, I'll meet you in there, and people were going in, and nobody else could go in there, and they'd come out completely victorious. You know, and the angel said, isn't it written about your prayer closet? Did you go in and you speak to the Lord privately of the things, and he'll reward you openly? And so that's something that we have to put in action in our lives. And so learn how to put those things in reserve for us so that we can draw from them days that are we need to. Now, I want to say a few things about the series I've been doing because I want to make sure you understand how serious I am about it. I've never been any more serious about something coming from the Lord. I've never seen anything in my life that's been more liberating. And so you pray that I'll be able to give it to you so that it's liberating to you just like it is to me. And it'll cause things that you may have struggled with in the past just to not even be an issue anymore, right? Because you'll know the truth will make you free, right? And so, we have people that's not here. Since I started this series, you said you'd let me be your pastor. Since I started this series, and I've seen things come up that caused the people had to be out of church because of issues. Sister Crystal was out because of the situation with Brother Brian, but the devil works. The devil works, and he wants to keep people away from the Word because there's no victory anywhere else except in that Word. It's the keeping powers in that Word, and it's in the Word that's being delivered to you for the hour. I have to believe that you are God's people. He's your shepherd, and he's responsible to see to it that you get fed and that you get what gets delivered to you every Sunday and every service, that what it is, it comes from him. And I don't care if Balaam is standing here. I don't care who it is, because you're his people, God will come down and speak. And so I have to believe that every time a service happens here, it's my responsibility as pastor to watch over that, that God is going to give you something that if you'll take it, you'll slay devils with it. Right. Every week. But I've watched how Satan works behind the scenes, and it may be something totally out of somebody's control where they don't even they don't even have the ability with their own ordering of their own lives to change it. All the way from that to people who just sit out of church because they just probably don't want to feel to come. Everywhere in between. And what I'm saying is I've seen the devil do that right in an hour. Like Brother Branham said when he was talking about these things happening, he said, right at a time where there's a bride being called.
Right.
Right at the time when God wants to come in and bring something, you'll see Satan raise up, and you'll see him keep people out of church, make them sleepy while they're in church, make their minds be off somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever he has to do to keep them from what he's sending forth at that time, whether it's Brother Daniel, whether it's Brother me, Brother Hughes, anybody else, he does it, and I've watched it. And so for me to have something on my heart that's burning as much as it is, what do you think that does to me when I see him moving like that? Right. I'm going to fight that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to fight against that.
Right.
Because I want you to get truth. I want to see victory in your life. And so, that goes back to what I said. When you do things that you lay up treasure, lay up things in the bank there on times that you can draw from it in times where you need it. And so, we don't have to worry. You know, the scripture says, you don't know the day or the hour. We don't. But he didn't say we wouldn't know the week. Didn't say we wouldn't know the month. Didn't say we wouldn't know the year. Right? You know what the scripture says. As a matter of fact, I think we can know even down to within 3 months. I said, Brother Tony, where do you get that? Because the scripture tells us that we'll know the times and the seasons, right? We will know this. And so what in Thessalonians, what he says? Well, it says, we know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And then Paul turns around and says, but not to you. It will not come to you as a thief in the night. A thief comes in the night to those that aren't prepared, and they don't have a clue until he's come and gone. But to you, The coming of the Lord is not to be as a thief in the night. You will know it. You'll be ready for it. You'll be rejoicing in it. Because you will know it. Because you're children of light, not of darkness.
Amen.
And that's what I believe God wants to make sure we are. We move right on into that time where all this stuff that's going on, yeah, we look at it, we watch it, but it's not a concern to us because we can say, amen. My Bible told me that this was going to be this way. It told me there'd rise up a bitter persecution, that they'd have to turn harsh and hostile toward the message. My Bible said they'd have to do that, or the message that I'm feeding on tells me that. You see it in the Scriptures, and it's typed out that way. And so, it's not going to be like a thief in the night. So I feel like I just out there this morning, you know, and I wanted to express to you what I feel about these things that the Lord is giving right now. And I can see that the Lord brought something over Brother Daniel's heart this morning. To me, goes right in hand there. And so I feel like this message, I'm going to read several things I wrote down this morning, and I feel like it's going to help you recognize every place where the enemy in your life wants to hold you. Identify that. Help you take those spirits and place them where they belong. If it's a devil, let's paint a big picture over the top of it and say, it's a devil.
Yeah.
And then stick that devil right out there where he belongs and don't entertain him no more.
Amen.
So I believe this will help you identify those things, maybe things in your life that is an evil spirit and you didn't know it necessarily. Or maybe I think that you probably little things might have nudged you already all along. But to take it from the Word and recognize that as a devil and say, that's a devil, I'm not going to allow it in my life anymore. It has no more place in my life, in my home. And stick it right out there and point your gun at it and say, that's a devil and I'm not going to have anything else to do with it. And so, to help you take those spirits, put them where they belong, I believe it will help you tie up any loose ends that you have. If there's anything in your life that is between you and Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I will say, how many could say, there ain't nothing between me and Christ. I have nothing right now that's hindering me. And so I said, like I said, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm saying that because I want you to think that it'll help you recognize anything that's any loose end that's not tied up in your experience and get it where it belongs. Help you to embrace this bridegroom. He is the Word. And the end time message was to reveal Him to you, to show you things about Him you didn't know. And so if you looked at Him, you know, they show that picture of Christ, the bride, and she's all the Scriptures. You can see a picture of her in her wedding garment, and it's made up of all these little Scriptures. How many have seen that picture before? But you know, that's Him. You show a picture of Him, it's all the Word. And so if maybe something was in front of Him where you couldn't see Him, and you pull a little bit of something off or to reveal a little bit more to Him, what do you see more of? You see more of the Scriptures revealed. You see more of the truth of who He is.
Right.
Did you know that He is a clothesline religion? When I make the statements I say about rock and roll music, and that, did you know that's revealed? That's revelation of His Word?
Right.
So all of these truths that will show us when we take them and we can look out and identify devils and we can put them in their place because we have a revelation of Him, all of those things are Him and we've got to embrace Him and not embrace Him with a little something still back in our mind saying, well, you know, I'm not 100% sure of this. We've got to be certain of God. We've got to be certain that rock and roll, there's no such thing as Christian rock and roll.
Right.
We've got to be certain of those things, right? And so I believe this Prove All Things series is that God will allow us to bring these things out to a place where from different avenues of Scripture, we can see that these things that this prophet brought us in the midst of all the fussing, we'll find out that there was a message delivered by God through that ministry, and its purpose is to do exactly this right here so that we can identify why. Because it's the embracing of the Word. It's our husband when he takes us and marries us that redeems us. Right? And so when we're being redeemed, we're being freed from all the sin and filth and all those things. So it's the embracing of the Word that and holding true to these things that cleanses us from all these devils.
Yeah.
And all these things that are contrary. That's what it does it. And so that's what we want to do. We want to embrace our bridegroom completely. Anything and everything that he is. And if there's only one woman who will embrace him that way, everything about him, and say, everything he is, I become one with that. There's only one, and that's the bride of Christ. So if we come up and say, well, you know, I like Christ, but in the back of our mind, we still have a resentment about a truth that's part of Christ because we haven't totally come to that understanding, such Satan's fighting us to make us think, well, that's not necessarily true or not. We've got to come to a place where we convince him, say, you know what, I know it's the Word. I know it's in him, and I embrace that. And there may not be another church on this world, in this world, that will truly embrace him in that manner, but I'm going to because I'm his bride. I will, as my wife said last night when I was sharing this with her, some of these things with her, and Sister Anna, she had made chicken quesadillas for supper. And I said, she's the one that will embrace him. And she'll wash his clothes and do those things. And she said, she'll make cheesecake quesadillas for him. That's right. She'll do, the bride will do the Word. She will do whatever it takes to embrace the Word. And so I believe this series will do that, will help you in those things. And make sure that there's nothing between you and the Lord. Living the way he says we should keeps the evil spirits off of us. How many believe that? If you don't live the way he says we should, everybody says, well, God, you know, God, when he tells you something, it's for your good. And when he says, hey, don't dress this way, don't go to these places, don't listen to these things, when he tells you that, he's telling you something that's going to keep devils off of you. Because as long as we've got devils on us or in us, we're not ready for rapture. Right? We're supposed to have the Holy Spirit in us, and that's it. Nothing else. And so that's what we want to do. We want to have the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying this because I want you, if you love other people in the church and you believe God is doing something, I want you to encourage those who are missing and haven't been here and see what we can do to make sure they get here. I can inquire to them. I can talk to them. And I want you to go back, and if you've missed services, I want you to go get them and listen to them. And I have a right, as we mentioned the other day, to ask you. I'm not going to force you to do it, but I am going to ask you enough to make you ashamed of yourself if you haven't diligently done it. And then I'll leave it at that. Okay? Because I want you to have this truth. If I wasn't sharing it with you to be the truth, then if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be doing it. Okay? And as Brother Daniel mentioned, and Brother Tim said it the other day, how the spiritual warfare is really kicked up, that's because they don't want you getting it. They don't want you getting it at all. But God wants you to have it, so he's sending it. And so, living the way he says we should will keep evil spirits off of us, keep us sanctified and cleansed for his presence. Because he's not going to come and share a space with the devil. He displaces it. Right? So to embrace him makes the devil go out. So yeah, the pressure's on. But you know what? You got that phrase, when the going gets tough, tough get going.
Yeah.
That's right. And so that's the hour we live in. So the pressure's on, but so is the move. The move is on with the bride. Believe that. And so we want to take those things with you today. So contact those who aren't here. And pray for those that, you know, that are having struggles and that sort of thing. And some that used to be here with us, some have chosen not to believe that Brother Branham was Malachi 4 anymore and that sort of thing. Doesn't move me, but I do think we should pray for them, because it's better for a person not to have known truth than to have known it and then walk away from it. That's not me saying that. That's the Bible. So I have to say what it says. And so we know that. And if you look back on in your life and all the people over the years that you've fellowshiped, not just in this church, but every church you've ever gone to since you've been in the message, Remember those who were fence straddlers. And ask yourself what happened to them eventually by and by. And let that, I see a sister shaking her head. And let that speak for itself. Fence straddlers don't fare very well.
Right.
They never have and they never will. I've told you that before. That it seems like a joke, but it's not. It's a truth. About the field, and there was a fence running right down through the middle of it, and there was a crowd of people on both sides, of just a bunch of them, and after a while, Jesus come out and said, you know, those that, for me, get on the right side, and some of the people went off over there and got on that side, and Jesus disappeared, and then Satan come out, and he said, now everybody's for me, get on the left side, and a bunch of them went off over here, and so now you got all these two groups, one on the right side, one on the left side, and you had one guy sit right there in the middle, on the fence. And Jesus came and took his people away, and Satan came and took his people away, and there's the one guy sitting on the fence. And after a little while, Satan stepped out and said, come go with me. He said, oh no, I didn't choose. I wasn't on this side and I wasn't on that side. And Satan said, that's okay. I own the fence. Satan owns the fence. Therefore, he owns the fence straddlers, and that's why they don't fare well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, pastoring is not an easy thing in the world, but I tell you what, because he's got to tell it the way it is, truth, whether everybody's complying or nobody's complying or half the people's complying and half aren't, he's got to tell it just the same because he's responsible that it gets out there and lets them know, if you're a fence straddler, if you have Satan attacking you that way, trying to make you straddle a fence, you just rest assured you've been told he owns the fence. You don't want to be found as a fence straddler.
Yeah.
So pray for those people. Pray for our brothers and sisters. And get on the phone, encourage them. And if they're going through something, call me and let me know about it. I can interact with them. You know, and I can only know what they are willing to interact with me on. And so I know they're fighting battles, but I know you love them. And I know you'd like to have them here. And you know, sometimes it's just simply the fact that Satan convinces people as far as coming to church that maybe convincing them is not important. It doesn't have to be that way. That's anti-word. I know, you know, I'm talking about a spirit that would cause them just to be, take it or leave it. No, we have to be desperate for our sake, desperate for our Lord. And to do that, and sometimes he just causes a person just to not be, to be slack and to not take and set a stake down and say, I'm not letting this happen to me. I'm going to be in the house of God when that time comes. And we've got to do that. And so, and I know for me, I guess just the way I was raised or whatever. My grandmother took me to service every time. We went four times in a weekend. Isn't that right? Aunt Mary. Four times, starting Friday night to Sunday night, four services that I went out week after week after week after week. And you know what? If you'd asked me then, I probably would have fussed about it. But I'm glad because God was preparing me to be then, and me not even knowing it was in the Scriptures the way it is, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so, how many is willing to stand up and fight for your own walk, for your own house, for this assembly, for the brothers and sisters and their family that's going through things and Satan's fighting them, that those who want to be here can be here, those who want to sit in the Word can sit in the Word, and those who aren't sure that their attitude will change so they will want to be here, and that God will meet our needs as we come. I believe He has, and I believe He will. Amen. So let's stand. I don't mean to come on and preach after Brother Daniel, but the Lord did give me those things on my heart, and I believe He accommodated that for me because Brother Daniel was a little bit shorter this morning than normal, right? And so I believe the Lord made room for me to share those things with you without me saying anything about it. He's good to us.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you can look around in this assembly, somebody that's here or not here, if you don't have respect for that person, you pray to God until you do have respect for that person. Because every one of us, son or daughter of God, fighting battles, and because of that grace bestowed upon our lives, are worthy to be recognized as that. And so if we can't love and respect everybody, then let's pray and forgive one another. I read it this morning. where he said, they said, teach us how to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven. And as soon as Jesus finished that, he said, for if you don't forgive, see, if you don't forgive, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So when we stand there on that day, ready to be raptured and body changed, if we hold something against somebody else, we're not going. That's right. We're not going. So, most of the time, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Most of the time. Amen. So, let's sing something, brother. You can sing that if you want. It's me, oh Lord. Amen. We love you, and just pray that God will give you a wonderful week as we get ready to go. We can be dismissed as we sing that song. But just remember to pray for one another, and remember the sisters getting together next weekend for the baby shower. All right? Is it the next weekend? All right on that. And the brothers, I guess we'll get together and fellowship, go get something to eat, and then I think that the board of directors need to have a meeting. We can do that next week while we're having our shower. But anyway, God bless you. Let's sing this as you go.
The movie's on.